Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. So at the Democratic Convention this week, we've heard about Hillary Clinton as an activist, wife, mother, first lady, and senator, but less about her role as President Obama's Secretary of State. Yet with everything from Islamic State terrorism to Russian hacking in the news, foreign policy is very likely to play a significant role in this year's election. Joining us now from the convention in Philadelphia to talk about that is former Undersecretary of State and former U.S. Ambassador to NATO, Nicholas Burns. He's a professor at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government, and he's also an advisor to the Clinton campaign. Welcome, Nick.
Thanks, Indira.
So let me start by asking you about today's latest news. Donald Trump held a press conference and called on Russia basically to hack into Hillary Clinton's email and provide any missing emails to the FBI. What do you say to that?
Indira, I'm at a loss for words. These are disgraceful comments. For Donald Trump to suggest that our most powerful adversary, Russia, hack into Hillary Clinton's the Democratic National Committee's emails is un-American. It's a betrayal of our values and interests. It's shocking that he would say it. And he also said in that press conference in Florida that he might consider actually recognizing the Russian illegal occupation of Crimea and lifting American sanctions against Russia. So he has effectively, with these statements and the statements disavowing NATO last week, he separated himself from every American president since Harry Truman. Think of Ronald Reagan. Think of George H.W. Bush. Think of Dwight D. Eisenhower.
Well, I'm thinking of the evil empire. Thinking of Ronald Reagan talking about the evil empire and Donald Trump talking about how he admires Vladimir Putin, who was, of course, part of that empire before
it fell. That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And I've served both Democrat and Republican presidents in my career. What has united both parties and still unites both parties, with the exception of Trump, is that we have to lead in the world and we have to stand up to bad actors like the Russians. We have to be, our word has to be our bond. We have to keep our commitments at NATO. He is now
disassociating NATO. Let me interrupt you for a second
because
you mentioned NATO. Let's go back to those comments he made last week in which he basically said that we wouldn't necessarily defend the Baltic states or other NATO allies if Russia invaded because it would depend on whether they had done so-called, you know, held up their responsibility to us. So you're a former NATO ambassador. What's your reaction to that?
Well, I mean, these comments have been repudiated by every Republican politician that I know in the United States, because NATO exists so that the democracies of the West, North America and Europe, can be together to defend our own democracies and to resist Russian aggression. The Russians have invaded Georgia and Ukraine in the last several years, and they're now threatening the Baltic states. If there's one thing that's unified both political parties since just after the Second World War, it's that our security with Europe is indivisible, that we've got to be there for them, that our credibility has to be there. And Article 5 of the NATO Treaty says, in effect, an attack on one of us is an attack on all of us. And so we have made a solemn pledge to the Poles and to the Balts that we'll defend them.
All right, Nick, let me ask you, because a Pew Research poll in May this year found that 57% of Americans think the U.S. should deal with their own problems and let other countries deal with their problems. A plurality said that the U.S. does too much to solve world problems. Do you think that Americans are weary of the role we have had as the sort of indispensable nation, sometimes policeman? Is Donald Trump tapping into that?
Well, we've seen some of that from both Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. We see isolation and, certainly in the left. We definitely see it in the Tea Party. It's been building now for several years as the Tea Party rose in 2010 and 2011. But, you know, we can't bury our head in the sand. We live in 2016. The United States remains by far the most powerful country in the world militarily, economically, politically. And if we withdraw from that leadership role, it's going to hurt us. It'll hurt our economy, and it puts our security at risk. So we can't be everything to everybody. We certainly have learned our lessons from the Iraq War. I don't think you won't see Hillary Clinton advising that we put a big American land army back into the Middle East.
Well, let me ask you about that, because it was Hillary Clinton's vote favoring the Iraq War in 2002 that is maybe one of her biggest foreign policy vulnerabilities. People have criticized her judgment. Of course, foreign policy elites, Democrats and Republicans alike, not all of them, but many, supported that war. So I wonder, when the foreign policy elite on both sides now dismisses Donald Trump's views as foolish, should Americans actually listen to the same elites who advocated the Iraq War?
Well, I'm not sure. There's a lot of evidence that Donald Trump supported the Iraq War back in March of 2003, despite what he's saying now. But journalists should be pursuing that story, not me. Hillary Clinton has said that, you know, she regrets that vote. And I certainly regret my own support for the war, but you've got to judge someone like her on the entirety of her career. You've got to judge her on her record as Secretary of State and judge her on the issues that are before us right now in 2016 in this election. And I was going to say, Indira, it's very important that Americans realize that our allies have been there for us. I was ambassador to NATO on 9/11. We invoked Article 5 the next day. The European allies came to our aid.
That's the one for all for one article.
An attack on one, an attack on all. And they're all in Afghanistan with us. And so for Trump to suggest that we're not going to be true to our allies when they've been true to us, that's just not right.
All right. Well, Stanley McChrystal, a former aide to General Stanley McChrystal, is quoted in a New York Times piece saying that Hillary Clinton contributed to the over-militarization of troops in Afghanistan, meaning the surge of 30,000 more troops into Afghanistan in the early part of Barack Obama's presidency. What do you say to the criticism that she has faced from the left flank of the party that her foreign policy might rely too much on forward-leaning military intervention?
I don't think that's an honest assessment of her record. Did Hillary Clinton support troops in Afghanistan as Secretary of State? Yes, she did, and I think she was right to do it because the Taliban was poised to make major inroads. This is a country from which we were attacked on 9/11. That's where Osama bin Laden was. I think there's a consensus now in both the Republican and the Democratic Party that we ought to stay. And President Obama has made that decision to keep 9,000 troops there until his successor takes office. Let the next president decide that. But I think she's someone who acted very judiciously as Secretary of State. She was for the Iran agreement. In fact, she built the sanctions coalition against Iran. She faced down the Chinese on the South China Sea issue, but didn't do so in a way that was inflammatory. She's someone who used diplomacy, thought about diplomacy first before she thought about the use of force, and I think she has a very solid record as Secretary of State to back that up.
Last question, Nick. If she's elected, would her foreign policy be substantially different from President Obama's, and how?
I think there'd be some continuity. She was a Secretary of State. She certainly supports the great majority of what President Obama has done. But there are going to be differences. There are in any administration. And in fact, Indira, on January 20th, 2017, the big issue will be how do we contain Putin? How do we stop the Chinese from dominating the South China Sea, running roughshod over smaller countries? How do we deal with the Middle East? And most importantly, and this is the basic job of a president, how do we keep the country safe in an age of terrorism? So she won't be facing exactly the same agenda as President Obama. Things evolve, but I think she'll take the best of his foreign policy, and she's largely in agreement with it.
That's Nicholas Burns, former U.S. ambassador to NATO, professor at Harvard, and advisor to the Clinton campaign. Nick, thank you so much.
Thank you very much, Indira.
Stay with us. There's more ahead. I'm Indira Lakshmanan. This is Radio Boston.